I want to congratulate all of you Niner fans. I had to do it. They beat the Packers last night, 13-10. Unbelievable. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to quit. I really do. Good job. Have you ever heard of a guy? His name is Mr. Beast. He is on YouTube. He has 88 million followers. I think it's 88.4. Somebody said that he has over 90 now. Over 90 million. You know, the population of California is 38 million. The population of New York is, I think, 19.4 million. So he has more followers in the state of California and New York. And why do people follow him? Because he gives things away. He is a very generous person. And he just does this all the time. And he has these videos on YouTube. One time he gave a waitress a $10,000 tip. I would have quit my job and gone to the coast immediately after that. One time he had four guys holding a briefcase, and the one who held it the longest won $1 million. This is what he does. He just gives stuff away. Sometimes he goes to Walmart or Target or Best Buy, and he makes a red circle on the floor. And he gives a person, he just picks a random shopper, and he gives that person 10 minutes to gather anything they want, and they bring it in and they put it in that circle, and he will give it to them for no cost. He will just buy it for them. And wouldn't that be fun? I mean, that would be a blast. And you know what you wouldn't get? You wouldn't go get jelly beans or hot tamales or a Snickers. You would go get things of great value. You'd probably find some flat screens, a fancy stereo, some laptops, some PlayStations, a new phone, some jewelry, and some gift cards. One guy did that. He went to the gift card section, and he bought every gift card to the fullest amount, and he put it in that circle. And he got it for free. Isn't that something? That's what I would do. And what he does at the 9-minute mark, he yells, "You've got 60 seconds. You've got 1 minute to get here and get all this stuff in this circle. And it can't be sticking out. It has to be in the circle. And if it's in the circle, you get it for free." And I really think that's what God kind of does to us. He deals with us. And yet we want to cram so much into the circle. Sometimes we get overwhelmed. We get a little stressed. We have too much stuff in the circle. And what God is actually saying to us, he wants you to put him in the circle. God is saying, put me in there. I want to be in your circle. And when you put God in the circle and you put Jesus in that circle, you know what he does? He draws a bigger circle because he likes to bless us. And I'm not talking about health and wealth, gospel, anything like that. I'm just saying God's math is different than our math. We've talked about tithing before, and we believe this. The Bible teaches this, that if you will bring the first tenth, not the last tenth, if you bring the first tenth to him, he will bless the 90%, and it will go further than your 100%. Last week we talked about the Sabbath. If you take a day off and you rest and you honor him and you follow his principle, he's going to make those 6 days a lot better than those 7 days when you're just working and working and working. And so my challenge for you today and this week is I want you to give your attention, and one of the titles in the title of the message is simplify. That's a great word, but some of us are scared of that. Simplify. We need to narrow things down. We need to make things easier to comprehend and understand. In this world today, we are exposed by advertisements. I call them ads, and there's basically 4,000 different ads every day. And we have to make decisions and choices. But every one of those products, every one of those ads are begging you to put that product in that red circle. They're begging you to do that. And it's difficult and daunting, and it's not easy to simplify, to narrow things down, to calm your pursuits and passions, your time and treasure. We need to figure out what is most important, what will truly bring you joy and fulfillment. And choices and comparisons, they basically unearth this desire, and sometimes it encourages covetousness. This guy's got that. I want that. I want that. Never mind the fact that you didn't even know that product existed an hour ago, but now because someone else has it, I've got to have it too. And somehow your heart is beating faster because you know that in 20 seconds, you can click twice and you could have that product on your front door in 2 days, right? And some of you have more conversations with the Amazon Prime driver than you do with your loved ones. We're just falling into that habit. And studies have shown that if your brain has too many choices, the brain will actually shut down. We need to simplify. If you have your Bible, I pray that you would get it out and look at it. If not, we're going to have it on the screen. And by the way, the bulletin has a couple mistakes in it. There's a wrong date in there. And it also has Brent preaching next week. I am preaching next week. I don't know why they put his picture in there. They don't like to put mine in there, but they love Brent. I'm preaching next week, and unless something drastically happens bad. So, okay. I just wanted you to know. So if we're going to look at this scripture. It's a long scripture, Matthew chapter 6. And I want you to know that Jesus is trying to help you with your strategy. He wants you to prioritize the most important things that you put in your red circle. Okay, so the first step is clarify your view of stuff. You need to clarify your view of stuff. And when I say stuff, I'm talking about your money and possessions. And it's easy to get a warped view of that. When we're little, we come to this point where toys and treasures lead to happiness, right? And we keep that all most of our life, but that's not always the case. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, I got a lot to read, and I hope you will listen clearly. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust, one version has moth and vermin, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Jesus is basically saying to us, and this is kind of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's saying, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And it could be translated, don't treasure treasures. And yet we do. We love to stockpile. We love to accumulate. Some of us don't like to give to causes, and we don't like to give to people because that would cut into our pile of money. And we spend all of our time and energy just wanting to protect our stash. But I'm telling you, one of the simplifying products of your life is boiling things down to what are your needs more than your wants. Some things matter and some things don't. Sometimes we switch our focus to the things that we want, but what we really ought to be, we ought to be grateful and content for all the things that God has already given you. I've told you this before. One of the greatest booming businesses in the last couple decades is storage units. We have Daryl storage units all over town. They have the prime land. And I mean, it's just an incredible business. Why do we have that business? Because we don't feel like our circle is big enough. We can't hold all the things we want to hold, and so we have to rent storage units. Even though in America, the average home that we have is twice the size of our parents, it's still not big enough to keep all of our possessions, so we have to rent storage units. Back in the Midwest, and I'm sure there's some farms out across Fresno, and sometimes we can't put all the things in our house, so we take them to the farms. We put it in the barn. Matthew 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That's pretty powerful. You cannot serve both God and money. You can try, but it's impossible. So you need to clarify your view of stuff, because if money defines you, it will destroy you. I promise you that's true. Back in the 19th century, David Livingstone was a well-known missionary in Africa, and he was instrumental in taking the gospel to remote parts of Africa. He risked bodily harm. He was sharing the gospel with first-time people. They'd never heard of it before. And a lot of them threatened him. A lot of them said that we're going to kill you if you keep talking about this. But he lived quite a good life, and David Livingstone was well-loved and respected, and he passed away, and they buried him in two places. His body was shipped back to England. He was laid to rest in Westminster Abbey. But before he left Africa, this is going to sound crazy and a little barbaric, but before he left Africa, the natives wanted to show their love and respect for him, and so they cut his heart out of his chest. And they shipped the body to England, and they said, the body belongs in England, but his heart belongs in Africa. That's where his heart was buried. And I want to ask you, those people who know you the best and you passed, where would they bury your heart? Would it be at the office? Would it be at the cabin up in the mountains? At the swimming pool, at the country club, in front of a mirror, the golf course, would it be at the church? Where would your friends and your family lobby your final resting place? Where would they bury your heart? And I'll give you a little hint. It will be very close to what you value, because your heart always follows your treasure. And the second step in this is that we need, the point number two, we need to trust God that he will provide for us. He's taking great care of us. And Jesus wants to reduce our anxiety by bolstering our trust. Matthew 6, verse 25 says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Man, we're in this pandemic and we're all worried about our lives. The Lord says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink. Don't worry about your body. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food? Is not your body more important than clothes? He's talking about necessities. Yes, you have to have food and drink. Yes, you have to wear clothes. You cannot come in here naked. And I appreciate you wearing 49er jerseys in here. Sorry, Lord, I lied. Verse 28 says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not spin or labor. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these flowers. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, but tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. The Lord's talking about our necessities. Yes, he's talking about food and clothing, and we could throw in a little shelter in there. Back in the Lord's day, it never really got that hot at night. It never really got that cold at night. A lot of people just lived outside. They just had a couple of, you know, 2x4s and a roof. I mean, that was a lot of people lived that way. And our world is a lot different. Here in Fresno in the summer, I mean, we had 90 days over 100 degrees. And by the way, I'm loving this winter. I just think it's great. When I first moved here, we had some cold weather in the winter, and we had a lot of fog. And then we went a long time without any fog, and it wasn't cold. It was sunny every day. I just love this winter we're having this year. And I know we need to have some shelter here in Fresno. And we need to have shelter on the East Coast. They just had a huge storm, a snowstorm, and some areas were 5 degrees below zero. So we need shelter. We need food. We need drink. We need clothes. And I just think if you put the Lord in the center of your circle, he's going to give you all those things. He's going to bless you. John Mark Comer wrote the book, Ruthlessly Eliminate Hurry. And he said, for a lot of people, things aren't just things. They are identities. And that is true. And it's very convicting. There was a guy, Paul Macer, who worked for Lehman Brothers on Wall Street. Many years ago, he said this quote. Listen to this. We must shift America from a need to a desires culture. People must be trained to desire to want new things. Even before the old have entirely been consumed, we must shape a new mentality. Man's desires must overshadow his needs. And we've checked that box. We're there. We have created discontent. We don't simplify. We just want stuff. I want to ask you a question. This is audience participation. How many of you, people in this room, you get rid of stuff in your office or your home, and you haven't used it in years, and you get rid of stuff? How many? Raise your hands if you get rid of stuff. That's awesome. That's great. That's a lot of you. I'm going to ask a different question. How many people keep things for years and years and years and you don't ever throw it away? I'm raising my hand on this one. That's me. I'm not a hoarder. I'm a keeper. I just believe some of these things are going to come back. I told my wife, babe, I think leisure suits are going to come back, so I'm going to keep these three leisure suits in the closet. I was given a pet rock when I was 10. I'm not getting rid of it because I think that trend is coming back. And I will be with you in a support group meeting tomorrow night. I'm right there with you. I'm a keeper. My wife goes into my office and she says, this is a mess. And I say, babe, I'm pretty creative. I know where everything is. And she basically tells me, you need to simplify. And I lately have told several staff people, I need to start getting rid of stuff in my office. I have way too many books. I have all the cassettes when I became here and started preaching, I have all the CDs. I have all, every sermon I've ever preached is in a file. That's just not right. I don't go back and preach them, but they're all in a file. I have a stereo. I have a TV in my office. I have 5 football helmets. None of them are 49ers. I need to simplify. More stuff can lead to more stress because your mind becomes distracted rather than focused. When I was writing this sermon, I needed a little bit of perspective, how America has become a little bit tarnished. We're so influenced by advertising. It influences all of us. You know, Pastor Nick, as Scott mentioned, he's traveling this week to meet with some mission partners in Africa. And many of the ministries we support have been founded by people who have left America. And there's this one gal who is in Uganda. She is a female, and she has written words on the topic that basically we're talking about today. And this is what she wrote: America's fixation on stuff is maddening to me now. I didn't take a ton with me to Uganda, but the more time went by, the more the Lord provided for me. And people always ask me what I miss the most by living in the U.S., Now I'm living in Africa. She says, well, there's some material things. I missed a certain cozy blanket, a sweatshirt, specific food items that cannot be found in Uganda. But she said, we've never been naked. We've never been hungry. We've never not had a roof over our heads. And what I really miss is not the stuff. It's my people. We just truly don't need all the stuff we think we do. We need each other. And some of you are probably saying, well, she's a missionary. She's probably out of touch with the world. No, she's not out of touch. She actually won the homecoming queen at her high school. When she went to Uganda after graduation, 8 years later, she wrote a book, and it was a New York Times bestseller. I believe that the way she thinks about stuff is not because she's a missionary, but because she is a Christ follower. And that's the difference. America just has all these ads, and they just barrage us. They just fill us with all of these things. We don't need that stuff. Another missionary who went to Africa, he said this, I love this, having less choices on what to wear, eat, and do have actually saved us quite a bit of time and a lot of stress. We have much less stress in our day-to-day life. We stay busy with the ministry, and we find that our time at home is more restful, and we have much less to worry about. Wouldn't you like to have a restful, peaceful home? And I'm telling you, you can have it. But it all depends on what you put in that circle. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, he said, watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. The word greed, what does that mean? It means discontent. It means we want a little bit more. It means we're just not satisfied. We need a little bit more. And this contentment breeds hurry and impatience. And sometimes something strange happens. As believers, we learn to be content, and we get away from the acquisition mode, and we start falling into this relinquishing mode. And I'm not telling you that you shouldn't have a savings. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't have good clothes. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't wear great things, or you shouldn't have a good place to live. Jesus actually said anyone who doesn't take care of their family is worse than an unbeliever. But our goal should be moving towards contentment. Jesus is the key about commitment. And there's something wrong when we become dissatisfied and we think this product or this possession is going to bring us lasting joy. It doesn't. When we simplify, we're actively moving towards contentment. We have less stuff. That means we have less stress. Less stuff means more margin, and more margin means we have healthier relationships. Simplifying isn't living with nothing, it's living with less. And I'm telling you, God wants to bless you. God wants you to use everything that he's given you. He wants you to be a conduit, that you would take whatever you have, whatever he's blessed you with, you would take that glory and you would do the most good with it. Simplify your life. We have so many things. We have so many possessions. And it's okay to have things, but just make certain that those things don't have you. Clarify your view of stuff. Trust that God will provide. Number three, you need to prioritize your pursuit of Jesus. It comes back to that. We're going to read 31 through 33. That's where it all builds up to. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? The pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's a promise from God. That's a promise from Jesus. If you'll put him at the center of your circle, you won't have to worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. He loves you. He wants to bless you. And when he was preaching there on the Sermon on the Mount, those people had nothing. They were basically living hand to mouth. And he was saying those things because he wanted them to know that God was going to take care of them. They needed to trust God for their necessities. Now, we live in a completely different world. I don't think we ever go hungry. I had a guy tell me last night when he was a kid, it was a rough life. But he told me, I've got everything I need now. We have plenty of clothes. We have roof over our heads. Can you imagine what Jesus would say to us today? I think Jesus would love to talk to us today. I think he would talk about a dozen things. But I think the greatest thing he would talk to us about today would be the greatest distraction of keeping him out of our circle. What is the greatest distraction that keeps Jesus out of our circle? I'm gonna show you. I'm going to go to Facebook right now. I'm going to scroll. Oh, yeah. Oh, look, there's a Cross City logo. There's Brandon Daniels. I mean, we don't just use our phones. We worship our phones. I'm going to give you some stats, and these are real stats. Average person touches their phone or checks in on their phone 150 times a day. You touch your phone 2,000 times a day. You say, that's impossible. No, the actual number is 2,617. And if you're on Instagram or Facebook, you're just scrolling your way through and you're touching it and touching it. More taps, more touches. If you're a millennial, you touch your phone over 4,000 times a day. What does that say? How do we simplify in this area? Well, you could turn off your notifications and news outlets. You could tell yourself you're only going to check your phone on the top of the hour. You're only going to send emails and texts for the first 5 minutes of that hour. You could take a break from social media. You could take 2 days off a week. You could put it away at your when you're eating. You could get creative. You could do all sorts of things. I'm not telling you don't use your phone. I'm asking you don't be consumed with it. 30 years ago, it wasn't even available. And now we basically worship it. It would be the very first thing that we would put in that red circle. We got to have it. I mean, all the connections. Oh, we got to have it. I find it ironic that this device, Apple, has a picture of an apple on it and a bite is taken out of it. You don't think Satan is subtle? He is so brazen, he plants a picture on there, and 25 years ago, when you saw that apple with a bite taken out of it, you probably thought of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We don't think about that anymore. And I think Satan is laughing his head off because we are so distracted from the main purpose. In my meditation room on Sunday morning, it sends me how long I'm on the phone. And I was stunned. It gives me a weekly update of how long I'm on the phone every day. It's not good. We love our filtered pictures. We want likes. We want people to get the best news about us. We're on Instagram. We're consumed with what others think about us. Our social media takes precedence over the people who are right in front of us in the flesh. We exchange love for likes. And we're not building his kingdom, we're building our kingdom. We want to increase our following. And for many of us, not all of us, but we spend so much time on social media, we are comparing, we are competing because of our posts and our reels. We want other people to think good things about us. I watched a Dateline a few weeks ago, and there was this Gabby Petito and a Brian Laundrie, and they were all over social media. They were all over it, and they traveled across the United States, and they were just showing all of these lovely pictures and little films about how they loved each other and they were enjoying everything. But behind the scenes, they were actually fighting. And he was abusing her. And he claimed that she was abusing him. He finally killed her. And then he went somewhere in Florida in the swamps, and they found his body, and he was gone. Friend, I don't misunderstand me. We need things. But sometimes we get to the point where it's so important on how we look and where you live and who you wear. I'm telling you, phones are not inherently bad. But we are. We have a sinful nature, and our devotion to God is so weak that we choose most of the time what the phone can do for us rather than what His Spirit can do in us. We want popularity. We want possessions. That's our pursuit. And when we do that, Christ is no longer in the center of our circle. We're basically pushing Him out of the circle because we have so much stuff in the circle. And when you got to that point where you put Him in there, I'm telling you, He will enlarge your territory. He will enlarge your circle as He sees fit. He is a good Father. He loves to give good gifts to His kids. If you have a home, if God has blessed you with a home, you know what you ought to do? You ought to probably invite some people over and have a life group in your home. Invite your neighbors over. Have a meal. Encourage them that you go to church and, hey, you could come with us. If God's blessed you with time, then you should pour into somebody. Pour into an elderly person. Check in on them regularly. Listen to people at work. If God has blessed you with a skill, then find some young high school student and teach them how to do that skill. If God has blessed you with finances, then make it your goal each week to bless somebody anonymously, to advance the cause of Christ. Because whatever we put in that circle, we need to be intentional about it. We've got to have a sense of urgency. We've got to make an eternal difference. I'm asking you, what's in your circle? Would there be so much stuff in your circle that there's no people there? Would there be so many people in your circle that there's no Jesus there? I'm challenging you today, and it's a tough challenge. It's tough for me. What do you need to remove from your circle so that Jesus can be the center of it? And I want to show you this. I want you to visibly look at this. I want you to wrestle with this of what you are going to put in your circle. I want you to look at this and I want you to think about this. Every time this week when you see a circle, I want you to think, where is Jesus? Is he at the center of my circle? Mr. Beast, at that 9-minute mark, he would say, hey, hurry up, go get your stuff. Make certain it's in this circle. But God doesn't do that with us. We don't know when he's going to come back. We don't know when we're going to die. We need to hurry. We need to make it an important thing to put important things in this circle, and the most important thing in this circle should be the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a guy, Crawford Learitt, who said this. He said, I think it's funny, but you might not. He said, at birth, you look like your parents. At death, you look like your decisions. Everyone in here needs to decide, where's Jesus going to be? Is he going to fit in the circle? Is he going to be in your life? Have you removed stuff from your life so that he can just be in the center of your circle? I know a preacher named Dave Stone, and I met him when I was in college. He's about 10 years older than me. He used to be the senior pastor at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. It's the largest Christian church in America. Now he travels around and preaches at a lot of churches. He's got a brother named Jeff. His brother's also a preacher. His dad's name is Sam. Sam knew my dad really well, and my dad knew him. Sam was the producer of the Christian Standard for several decades. When they were little, Dave and Jeff, they were in the back seat of a car and they were hit head on. There was a head on collision. Jeff and Dave were fine. Dad had to have a bunch of glass taken out of his eye, like 30 pieces. But his mom went to the hospital and they gave her a 50-50 chance of living. His mom died about 7 years ago. His dad died about a year and a half ago. And so they went to the house to clean things up, to throw most of it away. But they wanted to have some things and collect some things. And they found, Jeff and Dave found a manuscript and a cassette that their mom spoke about at a ladies' luncheon, and they never knew that she ever spoke in public. She just didn't. But they had this manuscript, and Dave told this story, and I want to share it with you. This is what she said at that ladies' luncheon, and it was just about 7 or 8 months after she got out of the hospital. She said, we had two children that we loved as much as parents can love their children. So I didn't want Sam nor Jeff nor David. I fought like a tiger for my life. But I was in the hospital and I was growing weaker and I had this wonderful peace. I felt that if I were to die that night, it was okay. And I wasn't afraid. There in my heart were Jeff, David, and Sam, and God, and I. And then I grew weaker. And it was Sam, her husband, and God, and I. And then I grew weaker. And it was just God and I. And how beautiful it was. He was as real to me as the nurse standing beside the bed. And she concluded this speech. She said, this is what I want you to remember in the end when you're leaving Earth. It's not going to matter if you've worn the very best clothes or you lived in a mansion. Yes, that's what the world counts as greatness, but the most important thing will be your time. Will be your relationship with God. And she said, the greatest inheritance that you can leave your children is eternal life. Not farms, not businesses, not houses. She said, never forget Jesus' promise when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. I'm telling you today, if you haven't put Jesus in the center of your circle, you need to do it right now. You need to make that decision. You need to put him first. You need to give the first tenth to him. You need to take a day off every week and rest. He's going to bless you. He's going to fill your life. He's going to enlarge your circle. He's going to put more things in there that you wouldn't even imagine. But he's got to be at the center. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. Trevor's going to lead us. If you have any decision on your heart, we'd love to help you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd encourage you any way that we can.